Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Save big money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection. Choose from 26 stylish colors and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Celebrate America's 250th with Dish. For a limited time, get an extra $250 off when you sign up. Call 888-ADD-DISH or visit dish.com today and use code DISH250 to claim your $250 savings. That's 888-ADD-DISH. Offer ends August 12th. Terms apply.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
For nearly 10 years, he had followed the same routine at the end of every paranormal investigation. No matter where the team had been, a private residence, an abandoned school, a forgotten cemetery, or some crumbling building with a reputation for strange activity, the final few minutes always looked roughly the same. Equipment was packed away, cameras were collected, and everyone slowly made their way back toward their vehicles. Before leaving, he would take a moment to quietly close out the investigation. The wording varied from place to place, but the message never changed. Anything that belonged there was to remain there. Nothing was welcome to follow him home. He wasn't even sure whether it mattered. Most investigators he knew had some version of the same practice. Some treated it as a simple precaution. Others considered it a sign of respect. A few took it very seriously. He had never spent much time thinking about it. After years of doing it, the routine had become automatic, no different than checking camera batteries or making sure nobody left equipment behind. Until the night he forgot. The investigation itself wasn't particularly memorable. The team had spent the evening exploring an old farmhouse several hours outside the city. The property had a long history of local stories attached to it, but by the end of the night, nobody felt they had experienced anything significant. A few odd noises had been recorded, and there were a couple moments that would probably be discussed later, but nothing stood out as compelling evidence of anything paranormal. By midnight, everyone seemed tired and ready to head home. While the rest of the group loaded equipment into their vehicles, he found himself standing near the driveway talking with another investigator. They discussed upcoming locations, reviewed some of the audio they had captured, and joked about how uneventful the night had been. One vehicle left, then another, and before long he was climbing into his own truck and starting the long drive home. The realization didn't hit him until the following afternoon. He was unloading groceries from his vehicle when a sudden feeling of unease stopped him in the middle of the parking lot. For several seconds, he couldn't figure out what was bothering him. Then the answer surfaced. He had never closed out the investigation. The memory replayed itself immediately. The conversation in the driveway. The equipment. The drive home. Somehow, after nearly a decade of following the same routine, he had forgotten the one thing he always did before leaving a location. The thought irritated him more than anything else. Standing there beside his vehicle, he shook his head, carried the groceries upstairs, and tried not to think about it anymore. At first, that seemed easy enough. The apartment sat on the third floor of a relatively quiet building, and he had lived there for almost a year without any problems. It wasn't particularly large, but it was comfortable, close to work, and perhaps most importantly, it had always felt normal. After spending weekends investigating supposedly haunted locations, returning home to a place that felt entirely ordinary was something he appreciated. 3 nights after realizing he had forgotten to close out the investigation, he was sitting on the couch watching television when 3 sharp knocks struck the living room window. The sound was so distinct that he immediately muted the television and sat listening for several seconds. Eventually, he got up and walked to the glass, expecting to find someone on the balcony or perhaps another explanation that would make sense in the light of day. The balcony was empty, the parking lot below was quiet, and nothing appeared out of place. After standing there for a minute, he returned to the couch and convinced himself it was probably nothing. The same thing happened again the following night. This time the knocks came shortly after midnight and were loud enough to wake him from a sound sleep. He lay in bed listening long after the sound had stopped, expecting to hear footsteps, voices, or some indication that someone had been outside the apartment. Instead, the building remained completely silent. The next morning, he mentioned it in passing to a coworker, who jokingly suggested he should have remembered to tell anything at the investigation to stay behind. The comment was intended as harmless humor, but it lingered with him longer than he cared to admit. The knocking eventually stopped, but it was replaced by something far more difficult to ignore. Over the following week, he became increasingly aware of movement at the edges of his vision. Several times he found himself turning toward a doorway because he was convinced someone had just walked past it. Other times he would glance toward another room after catching what looked like movement, only to find nothing there. He understood how unreliable peripheral vision could be and had spent years explaining exactly that to people after investigations. Even so, he couldn't shake the feeling that the apartment no longer felt quite as empty as it once had. The sensation wasn't one of fear so much as awareness. Whenever he sat alone in the living room, he often found himself looking toward the hallway without knowing why. At random moments, he would glance up from his phone with the expectation that someone would be standing nearby. There never was anyone there, but the feeling persisted, growing familiar enough that he eventually stopped questioning it. A few days later, his girlfriend came over for dinner. The evening itself was uneventful, and he debated mentioning some of the strange things he had been noticing. Ultimately, he decided against it. The last thing he wanted was to become one of those investigators who saw paranormal activity in every unusual noise or unexplained experience. He wasn't even convinced anything was happening himself. As they stood near the front door saying goodbye, she suddenly glanced toward the hallway and hesitated. When he asked what was wrong, she admitted that she thought she had seen someone walk past the doorway. A moment later, she laughed it off and blamed the lighting, but the comment stayed with him long after she had left. For the first time since the activity began, someone else had noticed something. That night, he left the bedroom door open. Normally, he preferred it closed, but lately, the room felt strangely confined whenever the door was shut. Leaving it open seemed to make the apartment feel larger and less oppressive. He eventually drifted off to sleep, only to wake sometime around 3 a.m. with the distinct feeling that something had changed. At first, he couldn't identify what had disturbed him. Then he felt the mattress shift beneath him. The sensation was subtle but unmistakable, as though someone had just sat down on the edge of the bed. The additional weight lasted only a moment before disappearing, but it was long enough to send every trace of sleep from his body. He switched on the lamp and searched the room, finding nothing out of place and no sign that anyone had been there. For the remainder of the night, he sat awake with the lights on, replaying the experience again and again. By morning, he had nearly convinced himself there had to be another explanation. Nearly. Yet as he got ready for work, his thoughts returned once more to the investigation, the conversation in the driveway, and the realization that he had skipped the one thing he had done at the end of every investigation for nearly 10 years. For the first time, he found himself wondering whether that small ritual had mattered far more than he had ever believed. The activity continued for another week before he finally admitted to himself that something was different. Not because the experiences were becoming more dramatic, but because they were becoming harder to explain away. Every individual event could still be dismissed on its own. A strange noise, a fleeting shadow, or the sensation of movement in an empty room weren't exactly uncommon. As an investigator, he had spent years cautioning people against jumping to conclusions. The problem was that he was now experiencing those same things with increasing frequency, and the timing continued to bother him. For nearly a year, the apartment had felt perfectly ordinary. Then, within days of forgetting to close out an investigation, everything had changed. The feeling of being watched became the most persistent part of it. He noticed it while making dinner, while folding laundry, and while sitting on the couch late at night. The sensation never arrived with any obvious warning. He would simply become aware that he was looking over his shoulder more often than usual, or glancing toward a doorway for reasons he couldn't explain. Sometimes he found himself listening to the apartment instead of whatever television show happened to be playing in the background. Sleep offered little relief. Several nights after the incident with the bed, he woke shortly before dawn and immediately knew something was wrong. The room itself looked normal, but an overwhelming sense of unease settled over him before he had fully opened his eyes. He lay motionless beneath the blankets, staring into the darkness and trying to identify the source of the feeling. Nothing moved. Nothing made a sound. Yet the longer he remained there, the stronger the impression became that someone was standing somewhere in the room, watching him. Eventually, he switched on the lamp. The room was empty. Even after searching every corner of the apartment, he couldn't shake the feeling that he had interrupted something. At work, he found himself becoming distracted. More than once, he caught himself replaying recent events and looking for logical explanations. Stress seemed like a possibility, but nothing in his life had changed. His workload was normal. His relationship was fine. There was no major source of anxiety that could explain why he suddenly felt uncomfortable in his own home. The more he thought about it, the more he found himself returning to the same question. What if he hadn't forgotten that closing statement? The thought irritated him because it sounded ridiculous. He wasn't new to paranormal investigations. He understood how easily people connected unrelated events when they were searching for answers. Yet despite everything he knew, he couldn't completely dismiss the possibility that his mistake mattered. One Friday evening, he met several members of his investigation team for dinner. The conversation naturally drifted toward recent locations, upcoming events, and the endless debate over evidence that seemed compelling to some people and completely unremarkable to others. He had no intention of mentioning what had been happening at first, but eventually the story slipped out. The reaction surprised him. Nobody laughed. Nobody dismissed it. Instead, several people exchanged knowing looks before one of the investigators asked a simple question. Had he gone back and properly closed out the location? The answer was no. Another investigator admitted that he had forgotten to do it once years earlier and spent weeks convinced something had followed him home. Whether the activity had been paranormal or entirely psychological didn't really matter. What mattered was that he never felt normal again until he returned and completed the process. The conversation stayed with him throughout the drive home. By the time he pulled into his apartment parking lot, he had made up his mind. The following weekend, he would return to the farmhouse and properly close out the investigation. He didn't care whether the practice was symbolic, spiritual, or entirely meaningless. At that point, he simply wanted peace of mind. Unfortunately, the activity escalated before he had the opportunity. Two nights later, he was awakened by the sound of footsteps. The noise came from somewhere inside the apartment. At first, he assumed one of the neighboring units was responsible. Apartment buildings carried sound in strange ways, and footsteps often seemed to come from impossible directions. He listened for several moments, waiting for the sound to fade. Instead, it grew louder. The footsteps moved slowly down the hallway toward his bedroom. He sat upright immediately. Every sound stopped. The silence that followed felt almost unnatural. For several minutes, he remained frozen in place, listening for another step, another noise, or some indication that he had imagined the entire thing. Nothing came. Eventually, he forced himself out of bed and checked the apartment. Every room was empty. Every door remained locked. The hallway contained nothing but darkness. The following morning, he told himself he would stop thinking about it. That promise lasted less than 12 hours. Later that evening, he was sitting in the living room reviewing audio from a previous investigation when something caught his attention. The apartment had become so quiet that he could hear the faint hum of the refrigerator in the kitchen. He reached for his headphones, paused the recording, and listened carefully. A soft sound drifted from the hallway. It wasn't a footstep, but it wasn't a knock. It sounded more like fabric brushing against a wall. The noise lasted only a second before disappearing. He waited. Nothing followed. The familiar feeling returned immediately. The apartment no longer felt empty. For the first time since everything began, he found himself wondering whether he had made a serious mistake. Not because he believed every ghost story he had ever heard, but because he understood how often investigators talked about bringing things home from locations. Most of those stories were probably exaggerated. Some were undoubtedly imagined. Yet as he sat alone in the growing silence of the apartment, he couldn't shake the feeling that he might finally understand why those stories persisted. The following Saturday couldn't arrive fast enough. He loaded his equipment into the truck shortly after sunrise and began the drive back toward the farmhouse. The entire trip felt strange. Part of him felt foolish for making the journey at all. The other part was counting the miles and hoping he would arrive sooner. By the time the old property came into view, he realized something he hadn't admitted to himself before. He wasn't driving back because he believed something had followed him home. He was driving back because he was afraid it had. The farmhouse looked smaller in daylight. That was the first thing he noticed as he pulled into the gravel drive. During investigations, old places always seemed to grow larger after dark. Every empty window looked watchful. Every open doorway seemed deeper than it actually was. In the morning light, the farmhouse was just a weathered building surrounded by overgrown fields and a few leaning outbuildings. For a moment, he felt foolish for making the drive. Then he remembered the knocks on the window, the footsteps in the hallway, and the weight settling onto the edge of his bed. He parked near the same spot where he had stood talking with the other investigator at the end of the original investigation. That seemed important somehow. He didn't bring in equipment and didn't attempt to investigate again. He simply stood near the driveway looking back at the house and said what he should have said before leaving the first time. He kept it simple. Whatever was there belonged there. Nothing was welcome to follow him. He stood there a little longer afterward waiting for some sign that the words had mattered. Nothing happened. No sound came from inside the house. No shadow moved past a window. The fields remained still, and the farmhouse looked exactly as it had when he arrived. The drive home felt different anyway. Not peaceful exactly, but lighter. That night was the first night in weeks that he slept through without waking. The apartment felt quiet again, not in the tense way it had during the previous few weeks, but in the ordinary way a home feels quiet when nothing is wrong. The next few nights passed the same way. No knocks came from the window. No footsteps crossed the hallway. The sense of being watched gradually faded until he realized he was no longer glancing toward doorways every few minutes. By the end of the week, he almost felt embarrassed by how frightened he had been. Almost. A month later, the team met again to review audio from several recent investigations. Someone eventually asked whether returning to the farmhouse had worked. He told them the truth. The activity had stopped almost immediately. A few people took that as proof that something had followed him home. Others thought he had simply needed to complete the ritual for his own peace of mind. He wasn't sure which explanation was right. The practical part of him still believed most paranormal experiences had ordinary causes. He also understood how powerful suggestion could be. Once he realized he had forgotten his usual closing statement, maybe he had started interpreting every strange sound through that lens. Maybe returning to the farmhouse had settled his mind, and once his fear disappeared, the apartment felt normal again. That explanation made sense, and it just didn't explain everything. He didn't explain why the knocking started before he had told anyone about forgetting to close out the investigation. It didn't explain why his girlfriend thought she saw movement in the hallway. It didn't explain the sensation of the mattress shifting beneath him in the middle of the night. Years later, he still investigated haunted places, but he never skipped the final step again. No matter how tired he was, no matter how uneventful the night had been, and no matter who was talking to him in the parking lot, he always took a moment before leaving. The words remained simple. Anything that belonged there stayed there. Nothing was allowed to come home with him. He still didn't know whether saying it made any difference, as he only knew what happened the one time he forgot.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Save big on landscaping projects at Menards. Transform your outdoor living space with easy, no-cut block projects. From fire pits and grill stations to planters and fountains, we offer hundreds of free project plans that are easy to build with no block cutting required. Check out our huge selection of concrete landscaping block at Menards. And view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.